Hey everybody, Duff here. Just want to leave you a quick note. This is going to be the last PEV podcast. It's been a fun run, going almost a year, but I'm going to be focusing my efforts in other areas. I'd like to thank you for your support and enjoy the podcast. Till next time, Duffman out.
It's Duff's Electric Unicycle Show! Starring Duff.
I have wobbles for a very long time. Good evening, all. I think I'm unmuted. How's everybody doing? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me okay. You think I've been doing this long enough that I would know the answer to that, but let's just play it safe. And let me know if the audio quality is satisfactory. And Duff here, hello. Oh, so Bob, okay, so you started with the EUCs, and do you have a Tesla as well, Bob? Actually, I'm kind of hoping that it works the other way as well. I'm hoping that, you know, because I've been getting a lot of Tesla viewers, and I'm hoping that maybe we can pull some of those people into the land of PEVs, you know, get some more EUC riders out there. I think that would be cool. Mr. Car Crazy, what's up, man? Okay, so evidently you guys can hear me. That's great. Fantastic. So I hope everyone out there had a good Father's Day. I had a good Father's Day. The weather here in Florida, if you saw the video I uploaded, like the 4-minute video I uploaded today, where Cindy and I had these big plans. We were going to, we had the Kingsong 18L and the Dualtron, and we were going to drive down to Marco Island, and ride the hills in Marco Island. Hi, Sadie. Good. You can lay down. We were going to ride the hills in Marco Island, so I loaded them up in the truck, and it was looking menacing at the house, but it wasn't raining. And I looked at the real-time radar image in our area, and I could see a line of showers over Marco Island, but they were kind of moving this way. So I figured, okay, well, by the time we get down there, it's like a 45 to hour-long drive to get down there. By the time we get down there, those showers will more than likely have pushed through, and we should be fine. So if you saw the video today, that you know that was not the case. It rained the entire time, and by the time I got back to the house, it was raining at the house as well. So that was kind of a washout, you know, so that was disappointing. But I did actually take my M Super out late this afternoon, like between 4 and 5. It finally stopped raining enough that the roads started to dry off. I took the M Super out, my M Super V3. And the reason I did that was I wanted to make sure that the battery is still functioning well, because I plan to sell the wheel, and I'll talk about that more later. But I haven't been riding that wheel much at all, so I wanted to just make sure that it's the battery pack is performing okay. I did a 10 mile ride. And that only has an 820 watt-hour battery in it. So did a 10-mile ride, and at the end of the ride, I still had 60% battery remaining. So that's pretty good. So I feel confident to sell the wheel. So, yeah, I will be trying to sell that wheel soon. So, Bob, you got your Model 3 just before Thanksgiving. Good. Did you have any problems, like some of the problems that people have experienced? I mean, if you've seen my channel, you've seen some of the problems that I've experienced, and luckily I believe they're all pretty much handled at this point. But like, did you have paint issues, fit and finish problems? Those are the big things that people complain about. Wind noise, that kind of stuff. My big problems were the paint run on my trunk, right by my rear trunk, and the steering wheel was misaligned from new, and it took them two shots to get that fixed. So those were my two major things that I had to get remedied with my Model 3. Okie dokie, so I'm just looking who we got in here. You'll see this week we are showing one of my video playlists that is nothing but King Song stuff. So you should be seeing a lot of King Song video flying by here. You'll notice I have a thumbnail for one of my Tesla videos where I answer some questions. That video did surprisingly well. And of course we have Marty's almost viral video. As far as the EUC community goes, it's a viral video of his Nikola short-circuiting doing his famous overheat hill test. So yeah, we'll talk about that as well. It was ironic up until that point. You know, everything was like, you know, Nikola is God. I love the Nikola. And then all of a sudden, it dies on him. So, but yeah, we'll talk about that more later. But it's been quite interesting to follow, for sure. So Bob says, no real issues. The charging door was a bit slow to close. They replaced it and it worked perfectly. Oh, okay. I've never heard of that issue. But that's good. So is your service center close to you, Bob? That's really been my biggest issue, is it's not that convenient for me to get work done on the Model 3 if I need it, because the closest service center is on the other side of the state. It's about a 100-mile ride or something like that. So, and I have dealt with the remote techs over here in Naples a couple times, and they've been okay. But obviously, it'd be a better situation if I had a service center nearby to handle issues, and I do not. They have a sales, I guess what they call a sales center. I don't know. They sell them over here, but they do not fix them over here. They do not have a service center. So, okay, let's see what we got going on here. I don't have tons of notes. I guess since we know Bob is a Tesla guy, let me start with some of my Tesla stuff I have on here. Go ahead. There was a new video by the All Electric channel. He is a Tesla owner, and he's one of the early adopters. So he has had Enhanced Summon for a while, and he's done a few videos about it. And I guess they got a slightly newer version of it, and he was doing some more tests. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Let's see if we can get this up here. Let's stop that.
A lot of different tests. So make sure you watch the video in its entirety. If you haven't seen my other Enhanced Summon videos, click the...
Okay, I'm going to kill the sound on that. But yeah, as you can see, there's nobody in the vehicle. Let's move up a little bit. And I would characterize his test as having mixed results. It sort of worked. In some situations, it didn't completely. Like, I believe right there, was it trying to back out or park itself? He tried to send it to go park itself, and he tried to send it to pick him up. And like I said, a couple times it seemed to work okay. A couple times it was kind of flaky. And that's kind of been my experience with the regular summon as well. Okay, so he's trying to get it to park in that spot. And I think that's how it parked right there, yeah. it parked like a lot of BMW drivers do. All right. Okay. Now this is one of his attempts to have it come pick him up, I believe. I didn't realize, but because he talked about it in this video, that Elon actually had said that Enhanced Summon, I think he said it back in, is it March or April, that it was going to be pushed to the masses soon, very soon. And now we are mid-June, and soon has not come yet. Yes. Okay. This is one of the examples where it does a pretty good job. The only issue is it kind of stopped like right in the middle of the lane. So if you were behind it, you would probably be annoyed. But it almost worked. Yeah, blocked some traffic, but it almost worked. And let's see. Oh yeah, this did not work out that well. He was trying to back it out of a spot like that, and it just seemed to get confused and tried to squeeze through. It it just kind of stumbled around. It did not perform this maneuver very well. So Enhanced Summon still has a way to go. And if Enhanced Summon has a way to go, then Full Self-Driving probably has even farther to go, even though, again, we were told that Full Self-Driving was supposed to be available by the end of 2019. But I do not expect that to happen. I do not expect that to happen. So anyways, yeah, thought that was kind of cool. All right, let's remove that. Let's start that up again. All right, Bob says his service center is in Indianapolis, about 20 minutes away. Yeah, that's nice. Very nice for you. Nice for you. My situation isn't so nice, but it's fine. As long as the car doesn't break, I'm good to go. Clay is here. Hey, man. Did you go out and kite surf in the rain today? I was going to try to ride today, and it got washed out. You just sent me a picture test. Are you doing experimental? Clay's doing some experimental concave foot pad inserts. Experimental as in you made them yourself? I see your name on them. Those almost look 3D printed, Clay. Interesting. You have been doing ever since you brought that up to me about the concave pads, I've been doing more reading. We're talking about the one wheel, by the way. One of the upgrades that you can get with a one wheel is you get a foot pad in the back that, because from the factory the foot pad is flat as a board. But one of the things that better riders will do is they will get a concave foot pad that has a curve to it, and having that curve allows them more control, more precise control, faster turning, all kinds of good stuff. And I've never considered myself a skilled enough rider to even care about that. But it would be interesting to try, I guess. But I have not done so as of yet. But maybe. Maybe. We'll see. So, Clay, did you say... okay, how did your experiment go? How did it feel having the lip there? I don't know that I have a quick way to get this on the stream. Well, I might actually. I can be kind of resourceful sometimes. I just keep talking. No, I don't want to do that. No. Alright. Maybe I can't do this quickly. Let's see. Can I do it? If we stick that there and we stick it, send it to him, and we send. And we see if this works. Okay, it says it worked. Sadie, what's up? Okay, we're going to share with the stream Clay's experimental concave foot pad for his one wheel plus. So if we do that, and here it is. Okay, here we go. That didn't take too long, right? And I see your ego battery set up there, Clay. So did you say that was 3D printed? Okay, so he did print them with PTU. PTU, what is P, and I haven't heard of PTU, Clay. Is it PLA? Is it TPU maybe? Tom Paul umbrella? Like flexible? Is it like rubber like? It has some give to it? I can't really tell. But I think most of the concave pads I've seen, they also have, you know, the concave across the very back of it as well. So, yeah. It's kind of cool. You just have it stuck down there, it looks like, huh? Super cool. All right, let's remove that. Okay. Mr. Car Crazy, regarding the summon video, he kept staying in front of the car. I wonder if that affected the results. Yeah, I don't know. I've noticed I've been doing some messing around with summon, and actually I have a video that I did today that I haven't had a chance to upload yet, just demonstrating how regular summon works for me in my garage. And up until a couple days ago, the end of last week, I hadn't been able to get summon to work at all, really. whenever I would try to activate it, it would just immediately say summon cannot be started at this time or something along those lines. And I think there was two problems that was causing that. Because what I was trying to do was back my car out of the garage. I wasn't even trying to pull it in. I was trying to back it out. And in our garage, we have like some of those parking assist balls that hang down. And when you, like when that ball touches your car, you know you're far enough ahead. Well, those are hanging down. And I don't know if the Tesla was seeing that as an obstacle and immediately abandoned the summons. So I pulled those out of the way so they were no longer hanging down. And the other thing I did was in the app, or no, in your car actually, there's two ways you can have it, have the summon motion controlled. You can either press it once to start going forward or backwards and then press it again to stop it. Or you can do a hard press where you hold it down whatever direction you want to go, and when you release it, then the car will stop. I was doing it the former way, where you just press it to start it and then press it again to finish it. And it seems like, for whatever reason, I get better results switching it around where you're holding it down. It seems to go past spots where it got stuck before. But as you see in the video today, even with that, there still was some weirdness with the way summon acts. So, and plus, my garage is a garage. It's a working garage. There's things in the garage. It's not like it's just a big empty square. So there's lots of possibilities that things are giving some false readings that are throwing the summon off. Clay says the wind was in the wrong direction to kite surf. Oh, well, sorry to hear that. I didn't know that it really mattered. Well, I guess it would. I guess if the wind is coming on shore, that would not be good, right? Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So I'm thinking the clouds today were going north. From the radar that I saw, it looked like the clouds were moving from, they were going in a northwestern direction. North-northwest, maybe, I would say. So I guess that's not a good direction. Okay, your concave pads are TPU. Okay. Thank you for confirming that. That makes sense. I've printed TPU a little bit, not a ton. I've had a hard time printing TPU. It can be kind of problematic just because it, for those of you that don't know, TPU is a type of filament that's used in 3D printers, and it actually has a very rubber-like consistency to it and durability. It's very flexible, and you can use it for a lot of things. I've actually used it for some real-life problems. I fixed issues with it. Like I made a TPU cover for the hub of my tractor. And it's been on there for months, and it's worked fine. On my 3D printed store, I actually have some TPU charge port covers that you can get. And so it's a cool material. It's just not the easiest thing in the world to print. Not that easy. So okay, let's see. Any other Tesla stuff on there? I mean. I've probably shot more Tesla videos over the last 2 weeks than anything. You see on there that my thumbnail about answering questions, that was just kind of a funny video. I did have a video that I got some shit for. Some people were saying I was a clickbaiter because I had a video where I talked about my first month of charging on the Tesla, and my first electric bill was almost exactly 50% higher than my previous one, which was a little bit shocking at first. And my initial inclination was that it had to be the Tesla, you know. And it was kind of weird because everything I had heard leading up to that is, you know, people said their electric bill goes up $30, $35, maybe $40, depending on your rates. But in my case, my bill went up $100. So I was kind of shocked by that. The next day, after I got the bill, I logged into my Teslify account, which I've talked about before. It's a service you can sign up for that gives you all kinds of statistics on your car. And I was able to punch in the time frame that I was looking at, and it was able to calculate once I put in what my cost per kilowatt hour is, that my real time or my real charging cost for the Tesla was about $28, so that was a relief. The other money on the or the additional expense, I think, has to do with Kay's been home with the baby for a month, and you know, so the AC is running more than it normally would, you know, because I have a programmable thermostat, and usually, you know, Cindy and I are home, or I'm sorry, we're away during the day working, so the thermostat was set to, you know, bring the house temperature up several degrees, and then it comes back down once we come home, like I think 6 o'clock or something like that. So it was lower than normal during the day, and I think that was the primary cause of that additional bill, or the additional cost in that bill, because AC in Florida is super expensive, and just a couple degrees can make a huge difference on your bill. Like they recommend on your electric bill, it says right on there, set your thermostat to 78 degrees. I remember hearing at one point a reading somewhere, like how much each degree lower costs, but it's surprising. It makes a big difference. I mean, I hear about some of these crazy people that like to set their thermostat to 68 degrees. Their electric bill must be like $500. Insane. All right, Clay says you want onshore wind for kiteboarding. So you want wind that comes off the shore towards the water. Is that what onshore, forgive my ignorance, that's what onshore wind means? That means wind that originates onshore, or wind that's blowing towards the shore? I'm such a kiteboarding noob, I guess. So anyways, like I was saying with that Tesla video, I had a couple people that said, you clickbaited us, you know, because the video said, the thumbnail said my electric bill went up 50%, and the title of the video was how much did my Tesla Model 3 cost the first month to charge, or something along those lines. So nothing in there was false. But obviously, you know, when you are a YouTube content creator, you want to get people to click on your video. So you want to give them something of interest to get them to want to watch the video. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But some people didn't appreciate it, evidently, which is okay. One thing I learned is you cannot please everybody on YouTube. if you try or on the internet in general. If you try to make everybody happy, you're going to make nobody happy. It's an impossibility, believe me. Also, regarding my channel, I did cross 6,000 subscribers this past week. So thank all of you that, if you're a subscriber, thank you very much. If you're not, please consider subscribing and hit that notify bell while you're at it. I'm so used to saying that. I say it in my sleep nowadays. But yeah, 6,000 subscribers, so every 1,000 subscribers is coming quicker and quicker, which is great. That's the kind of trend that you want to see, so I'm very, very happy about that. So thank you again. Okay, Clay clarified for me, onshore wind means it's wind coming from the ocean blowing onshore. Okay, so that's the best kind of wind. I guess that makes sense, because if it was reversed, you would keep getting blown out to sea, I guess, right? Makes sense. Okay. So let's see here. Now this was an interesting video. This video made me nervous. Very nervous. My house is filled with personal electric vehicles that I charge on a regular basis, and most of the time that they're getting charged, it's in an unattended fashion. So last week I saw someone post this video of a man that was charging his scooter, his electric scooter. Luckily he was in the room. I'm not sure if this is a security camera that he had in the house that captured this. Let's see, can we play this without logging in, I hope? Yes, good. Watch this. Scooter's on the right. You can see the smoke coming out of it. He runs over, he unplugs it. Look at that. It was an instant inferno. Yeah, if you are a... that's the thing with lithium batteries. If one goes, that heat, it creates a chain reaction, and it will just... I've seen this with Tesla batteries as well. It's crazy. To put that out without any further damage. But that was terrible. Really, really scary stuff. So, I've seen various electric vehicles go up in flames, but I think that might have been the most dramatic that I've seen. Yeah, because the scooters generally have pretty big battery packs. You know, they have much bigger batteries than the hoverboards. You know, there was that rash of hoverboards that were catching on fire, but those have much smaller batteries than a scooter. There's a lot of potential energy in a battery pack this size. And imagine if he wasn't home. If he wasn't home, place would definitely burn down, I would think. So, I mean, I don't really know what the answer is. It's not like you can sit there and you can watch your electric vehicles around the clock while they're charging. I mean, maybe the only answer is that they're charged in a spot that is fire resistant. You know, I don't know. Where is that spot? In the middle of a garage? I don't really know. You know, I have all mine in a spare bedroom. So I don't really have any great advice of what to say about what to do in that situation, but that's I don't know. That really made me think. Yeah, Clay, holy crap indeed. And obviously I've never seen a video of a one wheel going up like that, thank goodness. But the potential is certainly there. I mean, any device that has lithium batteries in it, that's a potential outcome, unfortunately. So, yeah. All right, so Bob is asking about the Gateway Nikola. Yes, what is your question, Bob? Are you asking about the thumbnail that's on, or the video description that's on the screen? A Nikola is a Gateway Nikola that is an EUC. Well, that's right. No, you know about EUCs. I don't need to explain that to you. Yes, Mr. Car Crazy, that was intense. That was a very, very intense fire. So, anyways, all right. So let's talk about the Nikola and specifically Marty's ringing endorsement of the Nikola. He took it with him on a trip to New Mexico, I guess, where he climbed, I think he said like a total of over 5,000 feet of elevation on the Nikola, and he was singing the praises of the wheel more than anything. I mean, Marty has the tendency to, like, whatever wheel he just buys, you know, he will say he loves it, but the Nikola was a step above. He felt like it was really the best riding wheel that he's ever ridden, and that's saying something for Marty, because he has such experience. Yeah, and he owns, I don't know, 11 or maybe even 12 EUCs at this point, so he has a lot of experience riding EUCs, and to him the Nikola was the cream of the crop, and he was telling everybody that he loves it. So a couple days ago, he decided to take the Nikola to his testing grounds. He has some very steep mountainous areas around him, which features a spot called Overheat Hill, where he's taken a number of wheels. And this hill, as you can imagine, is super steep. And the point is to see how the wheel reacts going up the hill. He has had wheels outright blow up on that hill, but more often what will happen is they overheat, hence the name. They will hit a certain temperature threshold and they'll shut down. You just let them cool off. And there's only been a handful of wheels that have been able to make it all the way up to the top of that hill successfully without shutting down, at least. And I'm trying to think. It was the MCM, the Galway MCM5, the Galway MSX, the Kingsong 18S got to the top and then shut down as it got to the top. And the 18XL did not make it. It kept overheating. I'm trying to think. I thought there was another. The Z10 did not make it. That was overheating. I think I'm missing one. I'm not sure, but anyways, it's a standard test that he does with a lot of wheels. So he took his Nikola there as well, and it was weird. If you watch the video, it's a real long video. It's over a half hour video. So I jumped around a little bit, but very early on in the ride, you could hear he has a Pebble watch that he has. He's running, I think it's Wheellog that does this, and he's tracking his wheel temperature and the amps that it's pulling. And there's like an audio warning when it goes across a certain amp threshold, and I believe in this case he had it set to 90 amps. And very early on in the ride, you could hear that warning beep going off quite a bit, even on the areas that were not super steep. So, but the wheel was still performing fine, and he kept checking the temperature on it, and the temperature was not anything significant at all. It was well within ranges. It was running cool, really. But then he hit overheat hill, and it was beeping a lot. It was, you know, the amp warning was going off a lot. He was still checking the temperature. The temperature still was not bad. But I read some of the discussion afterwards that temperature reading might not be the most accurate thing, because depending on where the sensor is, if it's right by the fan, it could be giving you some inaccurate readings. But anyways, the temperature warnings were not bad. But what happened was he kept hearing the amp warning, and then it just clicked right off, and he went straight down. Classic face plant. Luckily, you know, he was going up a hill, so he wasn't going fast. And he had his selfie stick and his Insta360 camera, and he did not drop it. He kept it rolling. It was a good move on his part. But the wheel was dead, and he had to get it back down the hill. And he included in that video a post-mortem, and you could tell he was not happy. He was saying how the trolley handle, which he had defended originally, saying that it was nice and everything. I guess in the situation when the wheel is dead, it's not so nice because it has no lockout feature. It's just spring-loaded, I guess, so there is no detente at the top to lock it in place. So it was pretty much worthless when he was trying to roll a dead wheel down the hill. And then he ripped it apart. He opened up the side of it on the Nikola. The instead of being on the side of the wheel, the system board is on the top, similar to like it is in a Kingsong, and MCM5, I believe, is like that as well. MCM4 is too. And he pulled the board out, and lo and behold, well, there's two things that he found. Evidently, the MOSFETs that are used in the regular Nikola are the less beefy ones. It's a MOSFET that's used in a lot of Tesla wheels, older wheels, but they had moved to much larger MOSFETs with the MSX, which was pretty much well received across the community. Everybody was thrilled that they got was spending the money to put nice, big, beefy, safer MOSFETs in there. But for some reason with the Nikola, they decided to step back to the smaller MOSFETs. So that was disappointing. Three of his MOSFETs looked like they more or less incinerated. Like the legs in the MOSFETs were pretty much vaporized. But then after further review and some discussion on the forums, it looks like part of the problem may have been shoddy workmanship on Gotway's part. The way those MOSFETs work is there is like a thermal pad that is put across the metal parts of the MOSFET that helps dissipate heat. And it looks like, and it's an adhesive pad, and it looks like on part of the pad, the plastic covering, like protective covering that is on there before you actually install it, some of it was not removed. So instead of having the heat dissipating substance against those MOSFETs, it was just plastic. So it makes sense that those MOSFETs were not able to cool down the way that they should. So that probably was ultimately the cause of those MOSFETs melting. So, I mean, of course it makes Gateway look bad in two ways. You know, first of all, they have to explain why they thought it was a good decision to go back to a smaller MOSFET. You know, usually once you step up your quality of your components, you don't go backwards, but they've decided to do that with the Nikola. And then, of course, you have the workmanship issue, quality control issue, which has been something that goes on with Gateway forever. As long as I can remember, there's been issues with Gateway quality control. So that is something that generally has been perceived to be better over the last, you know, year or two, that they've been making strides in correcting those problems. But then you have something like this that comes up, and it just opens up that can of worms again, and it just makes people leery of Gateway's ability to, really focus on attention to detail and safety and quality control. And from what I've read from Marty, although he was very disappointed, like initially when he fell and stuff, and he realized that it burned up, he was really kind of pissed off at Gateway. It looks like he's kind of softened his stance since then, you know, saying that the Nikola still is the best riding wheel he's had, but he wouldn't recommend, obviously, putting it in situations like he did, you know, really severe mountain climbing and that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure where, if he's going to just try to replace it with the same board, or if he's going to try to get an upgraded board. I'm not really sure what his plan is there. Let me just slow down here and take a look at the comments. Bob says you just ordered from eWheels. Oh, you just ordered a Nikola from eWheels? Okay. Well, you'll like it. It's cool. It's a cool wheel, you know. And as long as you're not looking to subject it to very severe high load conditions, you should be fine. Now, this is the first failure that I've heard of on the Nikola. Generally, the information that I've seen and the reviews I've seen have been mostly positive about it, and it's a cool looking wheel for sure. So Bob asks, when Marty said the MOSFETs were too small, what does that mean? The MOSFETs are the things that are like the drivers. They pass the current. The high current load goes through those MOSFETs. And basically, I don't have a quick way to show you the difference, but it's a chip that has a heat sink on it. And very simple logic, the larger that chip and heat sink is, generally speaking, the more current it can pass safely. If it exceeds a certain threshold, you have the ability to blow a MOSFET. That's a common system board failure that you'll hear people with EUCs talk about, that they blew a MOSFET. If they say they blew a system board, that usually means they blew a MOSFET. And it's just normally caused by high current situations that overload those components. So Gateway had, in the MSX, put really beefy, strong MOSFETs in that wheel. And with the Nikola, they did not. They put in the prior generation MOSFETs, which are not as good, but they're not bad. Like I said, they are in a lot of Gateway's high power wheels. I believe it's the same MOSFET that's in the Tesla, in the ACM2. But it's just a weird decision to cut corners there. You know, why put something that you know is not as good? If you've already established that you're okay putting it in the MSX, why would you not just put that in all of your products? Oh, Mr. Car Crazy jumped in with an explanation as well. Yeah. And Cindy, Fit Farm Chick, says the chickens are good. Good. She had to go put the chickens to bed for me. PM 2007. How great is the one wheel? I'm thinking of buying one. Well, if Clay is here still, he can chime in. One wheel's pretty great. It's probably the most fun to ride personal electric vehicle that I own. EUCs are fun as well, and EUCs have a lot of advantages over a one wheel. Speed, range, bigger tire gives them the ability to handle more varied terrain. But as far as enjoyment riding, the one wheel is my most fun electric vehicle to ride. And I'm looking very much forward to the Pint, the one wheel Pint. My latest ship date, it got moved from May 27th to July 4th, and now it's slipped another day to July 5th. So if I'm lucky, I'll have the Pint by mid-July. I know that Future Motion is getting a lot of shit about these delays. You know, it's kind of annoying as a customer that, you know, because we already paid for them. So, you know, you're letting this company basically hold your money all this time while they decide to get the product out. But I'm really looking forward to getting the Pint. I think it'll be a really fun riding experience. So, do you have any prior experience riding other sorts of things? Are you a snowboarder? Are you a skateboarder? I'm curious. Because I think learning to ride a one wheel is definitely easier than learning to ride an EUC, based on my experience. And if you have prior board sport experience, I think it would be exponentially easier for you as well. Yeah, like I said, Clay is a big one wheel advocate. He loves them. Okay, so let's see. Is there anything else to say about Marty's stress test? I don't know. I think I did talk about... Yeah, I did. I did talk about it in the last stream also, how I thought it was kind of weird that Gotway was releasing the Nikola Plus right on the heels of releasing the Nikola. And ironically, what I heard is the Nikola Plus, which has a bigger battery, supposedly a higher power motor, that wheel has... the bigger MOSFETs, you know, the MSX style MOSFETs. So that's just another reason for Nikola owners to kind of get a little bit annoyed with Gotway's business practices, but we shall see what happens. So PM 2007 said ski, skateboarder, rollerblade. Okay, yeah, you'll pick up a one wheel no problem, and you'll love it. I mean, it's The only people that I've seen that don't like one wheels are the people that have tried it and haven't stuck with it. You know, they might have fallen once or something, and I fell, you know, quite a few times learning to ride. And unfortunately, part of my problem was the front sensor pad on my board was defective, sort of. So when I was trying to do the heel lift that you're supposed to do to disengage the board, it wasn't always disengaging. And the end result of that was the board flying out from under me more than once, and me smacking my head on the concrete more than once. Luckily, I was wearing a helmet. But you'll love the one wheel. It really is fun. And if you don't have a lot of money to spend, you could always go with the Pint, which is less than $1,000. That was really the big thing, that the cost of entry with a one wheel XR, at least, is pretty steep. You know, you're talking $1,700-$1,800 for the for the original one wheel XR, whereas the Plus is it $949 or $999? I don't know. I haven't looked lately, but Plus is a lot less money, but it really should give you a very similar experience to the bigger one wheels. All right, so we talked about exploding scooter batteries. Tesla Summon. Am I a clickbaiter? No. Oh, okay. So let's see. With Marty's experience, I'm just trying to think. Is there anything else? I think he actually said something about that he might also buy a Nikola Plus. I think he mentioned that. I don't know if he was serious or not. I would guess he is, just based on past experience, that he might buy Nikola Plus, and I think he's going to buy a Kingsong 16X as well. And speaking of the 16X, there was a new video this week that showed it riding at higher speeds. Let's see if we can get that up here. Let's pause this. I really do like the way the 16X looks. All right, what page? This was posted by Vicky Huang. She's a Kingsong employee. So this shows the guy rolling at 47.8. See if anything's changed over there. It seems like any time I try to when I try to get a hold of Jason, he's just always swamped with business. It seems like business is definitely good, because it's not that easy to get a hold of him, at least not for me. So what we got here, we okay, yeah, it's still pre-orders. He has Nikolas in stock. Well, he has Nikolas on the site. Are they actually in stock? I'd be surprised if they're in stock. It almost looks like he does have a Nikolas in stock. Oh, wow. Okay, surprising. But not the Nikola Plus. Doesn't have the new Monster on there yet either. So yeah, no Nikola Plus on there yet. And the Nikola Plus is kind of an interesting wheel. The thing that interests me about the Nikola Plus is the supposed 3,000 watt motor, which I have read is questionable. You know, the way that they're coming up with that figure, if it is truly a 3,000 watt motor. But also the big battery pack with the 100 volter, you can get the 1845 battery pack, 1845 watt hour battery pack. So that sounds like it would be a really nice combination. And the tire, it's a big fat 3-inch tire. So, and be honest, I think that Marty's heaping of praise on the Nikola really is going to, what Marty says really influences people, because like I said, he has so many wheels and so much experience riding. So when Marty says that something is really, really good, people pay attention. So I think that there's going to be a lot of interest in the Nikola as a result of his heaping praise. Even with the cutout, I think that might hurt a little bit, you know, that the board popped, but I still think that he did a lot more good than harm for Gotway Nikola sales going forward. And it definitely made me think more about the wheel as well, to be honest, because he just was so enthusiastic about it. All right, let me hop back over here. Clay says, all but one person that I've seen try to ride the one wheel did good. So the person that did not do good, what happened to him? Wiped out? Mr. Car Crazy says, your voice gets lost behind the wind noise. What are you referring to? Sometimes in some of the videos, if you're talking about my PEV videos, like when I'm riding EUCs and stuff, it can sometimes. But usually, with that windscreen I have on the GoPro 7, the sound is pretty good. But there can be certain angles and situations where it does, the wind noise does affect it more. I just hate to, you know, multiple times I've considered buying like a more expensive point and shoot, you know, that has a real microphone attached to it, but then you have all this other shit that has to come with it, and it's just, I just prefer the convenience of, you know, of just being able to carry this little thing with me. Well, this is actually my older GoPro 3, but the 7's the same form factor. And ironically, my GoPro 3, this windscreen and the design of the GoPro 3 is actually better for audio than the GoPro 7. Because of the way the 7 is designed, if you look at the windscreen on the GoPro 3, it's totally enclosed. The only opening is here, and you have this nice little tight fitting around the lens. With the GoPro 7, because it has the screen in the back and there's buttons on the side. Oh, it's talking to me right now. What's the matter? Insert SD card. And the GoPro 7 is buggy. It just does weird shit at times. But anyways, with the GoPro 7, since it has more buttons and stuff, I have all these different holes in my windscreen. So when I had the 7 in here, I literally plugged this hole in the side with my finger. To make sure that no wind comes in that side. So it is a little bit frustrating with the 7, but I do like the stabilization and the video quality overall on the 7 as opposed to the 3, so that's why I put up with it. But who knows, down the road I might do something differently. But for now, that's what I got. On the King Song video you were overlaying, okay, on the King's Line. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that the audio was up on that. Yeah, if I'm not paying attention to the audio level, if I'm playing something, you cannot hear me. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about something else. I went off on a totally incorrect tangent there. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's why normally when I have a video playing, I either have the video volume super low or muted altogether. Showing 43 kilometers per hour. So Clay, the one person that you let try it rode straight into a wall and broke his collarbone? Oh my god, dude. You didn't show them the hop-off technique? when shit starts to hit the fan, just jump off the one wheel and it'll shut off, in theory? Wow. Okay. So, Like I mentioned at the beginning of the stream, my M Super, I am going to be trying to sell my Gateway M Super, and I am still trying to sell my my Ultron T11. I was corrected about that a while ago. And let's see, do I have a picture of my good old M Super? My M Super was my second wheel that I ever owned. I got that after my 9Bot 1E Plus, and when I bought this wheel from Speedy Feet, and man, when I got it, it was like the difference between this and the 9Bot 1 was night and day. You know, this can go in the low to mid 20s, and you know, the top speed on the 9Bot was, you know, 13-14. You know, the range, it had a battery that was more than double the size of the 9Bot, so yeah, I could actually ride it. This was the first wheel that I did the Dunkin' Donuts ride on successfully. You know, I have a very long history with this wheel. And here it is. This was just, I just took this today after my 10-mile test ride. You can still see I have a Speedy Feet sticker on there. Trying to remember the mileage on it. It doesn't have... For being, I don't know, is it 3 years old now? Between two and a half and three, I would say. It has 1,500 kilometers on it. So let's do a quick conversion here. About 932 miles. So it's my highest mileage wheel that I own. and it has, if you look at my channel, you'll see the various work that's been done to it over the years. The shell was replaced. I replaced the whole shell. It was originally a shiny shell. Can I say that? Shiny shell. You can see the side panels are still the shiny surface, but the rest of the case is that matte, that rubberized matte surface. Because when I use this wheel, this is what I learned to ride backwards on, and the case got beat to shit from me falling a lot trying to learn to ride backwards, so I replaced the case. But other than that, there really hasn't been any major issues. I think I had to replace the tube once. I've slimed the tire, but it's been very, very reliable. And it's an 18-inch wheel, so you know it handles rough terrain well. Although I don't typically beat my wheels, I don't ride them in a lot of real dirty and adverse conditions. I remember the last time I did work on the M Super, I opened it up, and it's pretty crazy how clean it is inside compared to some wheels that I've seen. It really is in pretty good shape overall. But anyways, yeah, I am trying to sell that. I'm going to probably list it for, I don't know, $500, $450, I don't know. Split the cost of shipping, something like that. I'm not quite sure. You know, it's an 820 watt hour wheel, so you can get, if I did 10 miles, 60% battery left, you can probably get between, you know, low 20s to, you know, maybe mid to upper 20s, depending on the riding conditions, depending on the rider, depending on the rider weight, depending on the wind. So, but it's been a very good wheel for me over the years. But I'm looking to sell it to make room for something new. And that something new is not the pint. The pint is already, everybody knows about the pint. But I am considering something else. So I need to make some room. And I'll even throw in a free 3D printed EUC stand if you're interested in the wheel. So I'll probably post it on the EUC forum and you know, the local Facebook marketplace, I guess, even though I don't know that the average Joe is going to know what to do with an EUC, but you know, I'll throw it up there just for the heck of it. And it's been frustrating trying to sell the Ultron. I've gotten a few offers, but it just, maybe it's just me, but personally, I get aggravated when the first communication I get for somebody, if something I'm selling is, okay, well, you know, the price is X, and the first question is, hey, will you take X divided by 50% or times 50%? If they offer you a half price, that's the first thing they ask. And I'm just, people like that, I'm just like, thanks for the offer, but no. And I had a few people that asked a little bit more about the scooter, but I have not had anyone physically come here yet to look at it. So, but if I could sell that and sell the M Super, it would make my my prospective purchase a lot less painful. But we'll see. We shall see. All right. So Clay again talking about the person crashing into the wall. No, it was not my wheel. It was a guy that sells them in a stereo. I don't let people ride mine. Yeah, I've seen people in videos. They just like random people say, hey, can I try your one wheel? Or EUCs even. And some people will let them do that. And I absolutely would not. Too dangerous, man. It's just too dangerous. I would not let anyone. I mean, I'd let someone try to ride one of the scooters, I guess. The scooters are, you know, riding a scooter doesn't take a lot of coordination. But any of my one wheel devices, I don't think I would let just anybody hop on there and give it a go. I would be too concerned. So okay, guys, those are my notes. That is all I have in there for notes. If there's anything else that you would like to talk about, let's talk about it now. I've been talking to Cindy about it, and you know, the live streams, the live attendance on the live stream has been going down pretty consistently for, you know, I don't know, a couple months, something like that. So I'm not sure if it's me, if it's the content, if it's just people are doing other stuff. You know, the time is not necessarily the best, you know, for everybody. This time slot was actually something that we came up with when Marty was doing the live stream with me, because this worked for him as far as time-wise, you know, because he's West Coast, so that, and I never bothered to change the time slot once he stopped doing it. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I need to maybe look at doing it a different time of week. But yeah, I'm looking to mix things up. So if anyone has any ideas, you can leave it in the feedback below. You can send me an email. You can post it in the live chat right now, whatever. But I am, because you have to have I like doing it, but you know, when you're doing it for only a handful of people, it's you don't get the interaction. You know, you don't get a lot of interaction from the chat when you only have a limited amount of people. So that is my goal, that I like to get some more people in there so we can get more conversations going, get more back and forth stuff. Hi, baby. Hi, Elsa. Right, Elsa? If you would talk to me. Yeah, you could talk to me. Good girl. So anyways, yeah, I was thinking about that. Like Cindy said something about, you know, maybe I should only do it once a month. And I don't think that would really fix the issue. Yeah, doing it less. So I don't know. And this time I actually did put some effort into posting it on several groups, on Facebook and on the EUC forum, just to give people a heads up. And still, it looks like we have a pretty light turnout again. Clay, of course, Clay says that the answer, Elsa, no. Clay says the answer is kiteboarding. It doesn't matter what the question is. Clay has the answer, and the answer is kiteboarding. You got depression. The answer is kiteboarding. You have erectile dysfunction. Kiteboarding. If you want to lose weight, kiteboarding. If you wanna meet women, kiteboarding. I hear you, Clay. I don't know that there's any kiteboarding live streams out there. There might be. There might. Oh, Mr. Carcrazy wants to try kiteboarding. Yeah, Cindy says that she does as well. I have no interest in it whatsoever, despite Clay trying to convince me otherwise. But yeah, I know Clay is an avid kiteboarder. So, okay. All right, guys. Well, I think I'm going to, this is going to probably be my shortest stream ever, unless anyone has anything else that they want to throw out there to me. I can actually get back to uploading. I have two videos in the can that are ready to get uploaded, and I didn't do it before the stream. So I can do that, I guess. Get it up there. And those of you that like to listen to podcasts, I always create a podcast out of these live streams. Usually it's up the following day. And if you're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, you can just search for Dust PEV live stream there. And you can listen to it as a podcast. I listened to most of the episodes. I listen to them back because I like to listen to how dumb I sound at times. And just to, you know, just kind of to self-grade myself. And it translates pretty well into a podcast. All right, Mr. Car Crazy, thanks for stopping in. And Clay, I'll show you a kite surfing video. I'm gonna get right on that. I'll Photoshop myself into a kite surfing video, and I'm sure that'll do well. So anyways, guys, I appreciate you coming in. And if there are any changes to the live stream, I will post them in my community forum on my channel, and I'll get any changes out there. And that's it. Hope you had a good weekend. Until next time.